Hello and welcome to another installment of Project 4-4. My name is Lisa Ashton and today is November 8th. Our readings cover John 11 today, and one of my favorite stories of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, it's my favorite for a few reasons. One, because I see Jesus display supernatural power and yet be so human at the same time. I also can identify with a few of the characters and their confusion over the actions of Jesus. Some of Jesus' quotes are also powerful to me when he says stuff like, "I'm the resurrection and the life," or "This sickness will not end in death, but it is for God's glory that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Or also the quote I like when he says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Well, we could make a slew of observations today over this passage, but I really wanted to hone in on two themes, and those two themes are this: Jesus' desire for people to believe in him, and secondly, Jesus' perspective on life and on death. Well, first, the matter of belief. From the very beginning, we see Jesus explain a purpose for the sickness of Lazarus, and in verse 4, he says, "It is for the glory of God," and then later in verse 14, we hear that Jesus says, "It is for my disciples to believe." In fact, I believe that his delay in coming to Bethany was to underscore that undeniably he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. It was part of Jewish culture that after 3 days, a dead man's spirit would leave him. And so for Lazarus to be in the tomb for 4 days really drilled home the point that yes, this man was dead, and yes, he has just been raised to life. I also think his delay was to allow him to have some important conversations with his followers, namely Martha. Notice he engages her at a level that cuts to the heart of his identity. He says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he asks her, "Do you believe this?" And Martha, in a dramatic confession, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Can you believe that? This is Martha. This is a woman who hasn't spent nearly as much time with Jesus as his followers, yet she has a keen insight, understanding, and faith into the man of Jesus being the Son of God. I think this story also points us to Jesus wanting people to believe in him because it foreshadows his own death and his own resurrection. Think about it. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be arrested, to be crucified, and to die. And when that day comes, when he is resurrected, there is going to be a mass amount of people that are going to doubt him, and his enemies are going to try to get other people to doubt his power to resurrect himself. They're going to say, "This is a hoax." They're going to say, "This is mass hysteria. This is crazy thinking." But then, there is going to be this small town in Bethany, just over the hill from Jerusalem, that's going to remember the day when Jesus came into their town and called forth a man who had been in the tomb for 4 days and rose him to life. And I really believe that that is going to counteract many people's doubts to thinking that Jesus would have the power and the victory to overcome death because they saw it happen that day in Bethany. Jesus is wanting to help people believe in his resurrecting power, not only now presently with Lazarus, but also in the future, in his own resurrection. Well, the other theme I wanted to focus on is the theme of life and death. And Jesus very plainly proclaims to Martha, again, "I am the resurrection and the life." Notice he does not say, "I have the power to resurrect," or "I have the ability to give life," which all those would be true. No, he says, "I am the resurrection of life." He is the resurrection of life. It is present. It is happening at that moment. And I believe that Jesus is saying to her, he's saying, "If you believe in me, true life starts now. It is present. It doesn't happen on physical death. True life happens and we have victory and power over the grave now." That's what that means. We have victory and power over circumstances now. God wants to offer that to us. His dialogue with Martha is setting himself up to display his authority over death, not only just in Lazarus presently, but in his future resurrection and in the future of anyone who believes in his name, which includes you, which includes me. We receive a further sight into Jesus' perspective on death. When we read adjectives describing how he grieved, we read deeply moved, deeply troubled. And at first I just thought it meant that he was grieved over his friend dying, and he was grieved over the effect that it was having on Lazarus' family. But after looking at some commentaries and talking to Tim Perry, our resident theologian here at the church, I learned that the Greek word for deeply moved is this word called embrimamomai. Embrimamomai. And what it's translated is anger, fury, outrage. Not exactly what I had anticipated. And so when Jesus was approaching the tomb of Lazarus, he wasn't approaching it with just being uncontrollably sad. No, he was approaching that tomb inexpressibly angry. In fact, this word almost implies like a shaking, like a seizure. He was so mad. So the question begs, why was he angry? Well, again, what I found in commentaries is that Jesus was angry to see what death was doing and had been doing to the human race. Because of sin, death has entered into the world, and it was destroying life that was meant to be found in him. And as he looked around, this grieved him and this upset him, and the object of his wrath that day was death. It was because of death that Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago so that he could eventually display his power and his victory over it. We looked at Mary and Martha, and we looked at some of the mourners in the city. In Jewish culture, it wasn't uncommon to have flute players that were hired to help facilitate the wailing and the mourning experience. You had professional mourners as well. And so Jesus looked at all this commotion, and it upset him at the core of his being to see, this is what has happened. These people are defeated. They're hopeless. And yet I have come to counteract that. His greatest enemy, death, had once again hurt his precious creation, and Jesus had come to do something about it. When I think about this, of Jesus approaching the tomb, I think about this mighty warrior that said, "Death, don't you dare mess with me, for I am going to overcome you, and you will not have the last say." So Jesus approaches the tomb. He says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He talks to the Father, and then in dramatic fashion, with all authority of heaven and earth, he calls out, "Lazarus, come forth." And that day in Bethany, people saw the glory of God and the resurrecting power of Jesus to overcome man's greatest enemy, his greatest enemy, which was death caused by sin. Well, I wish we had more time to talk about some of the other aspects of the story. But when I think about my own life, just things I take away from this story is one, that Jesus wants to take me to deeper places of belief in him. In fact, he is going to use circumstances in my life to bring me to places of dialogue, like he did with Martha, to get at the heart of, Jesus, do I really believe in who you say you are? I think this story also reminds me that God is most concerned about his glory being known and revealed and displayed over all creation. And no matter what circumstance happens or what he allows, it is for his glory to be displayed. Whether it's a good situation, a bad one, an easier or a hard one, God is most concerned about his glory. And then lastly, I'm reminded that when it comes to life, when it comes to death, death does not have the final word. Death does not have to wreck my world. Yes, to lose somebody makes us cry and mourn and grieve, and it's a process that we have to go through with. And Jesus enters into the pain with us, and he weeps with us, and he understands that. He truly does understand. But yet he came 2,000 years ago so that we don't have to stay in that place, but that we can believe that through Jesus, he is the resurrecting power, that we can experience life. And that life can start now. and that life can be now for all that are in Christ Jesus. Well, I hope we enjoyed our time together today. I pray that in whatever circumstances or whatever things are going on in your life, that you believe that in Jesus we have power and victory over even death because we are in Christ Jesus. So I hope and pray that you are experiencing true life today in Him now because it is for you. Well, till next time, this is Lisa Ashton. Bye-bye.